each individual person has to understand how might I get tripped up and what's the strategy for being able to deal with that.
Welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast, presented by Exo Mountain Gear. This podcast and the gear that we produce at Exo Mountain Gear share the same purpose: to make you a more capable, confident, and successful backcountry hunter. This show is all about providing you with valuable information from experienced hunters. To learn more about the podcast or about our backcountry hunting packs, visit exomountaingear.com. Welcome to episode 134. Our guest is Dr. Patrick Cohn from Peak Performance Sports. Dr. Cohn is a sports psychologist who's helped professional and amateur athletes understand mindset and how the mind plays a role in physical performance. We talked with Patrick about shooting and confidence and how to perform under pressure in hunting scenarios. We talk about mental toughness, pre-shot routines, visualization, and much more. There is so much jam-packed into this episode, so much that I was processing even as we recorded it, that this is definitely one of those episodes I will personally be going back through, listening to, and taking further notes on. So I suggest you not only listen to this one, but make sure you pay attention because there's so many nuggets to pull out to help you perform under pressure for when you finally get the shot opportunity you've been waiting for. Before we dive into this episode, we wanted to give a shout out to Earl Stroh for the iTunes review. And Earl, we want to send you some Exo Mountain Gear and Hunt Backcountry podcast swag. So send us your shipping address to podcasts@exomountaingear.com. And listeners, as always, if you want to be entered into these giveaways, just as a small thank you for your feedback, just leave us your review in iTunes, on Stitcher, or wherever else you might be listening to this, and then you can always contact us directly as well with your questions, comments, or suggestions to podcast@exomountaingear.com. Okay, let's dive right into this episode with Dr. Patrick Cohn. All right, well, Dr. Cohn, welcome to the Hunt Backcountry podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
Yeah, we are excited today. You work with Peak Performance Sports, doing mental training for competitive edge. So if you could just kind of start with some introduction and background into the company and kind of that topic, we would love to get rolling with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing mental coaching, mental training with athletes for about 25 years. I started originally working with golfers, professional golfers, and then today we branched out over the last 15 years or so, working with athletes from all disciplines. Junior athletes all the way up to seniors as well. So, yeah, it's quite comprehensive today compared to where I started. Peak Performance Sports is in Orlando, Florida, and we have two mental coaches on staff, myself and Dr. Megan. And primarily we work with a lot of junior athletes, collegiate, and some professionals as well.
Okay, so great. So I would just love to get more context. What role does the mind play in these sports that we typically think of as just physical performance? So whether it's, you mentioned golf, I know that you work with a lot of stick and ball sports as well. We clearly think of that as a physical act. We practice the physical performance, the swing, the throw, the pitch, in our case, the shot. What role does the mind play in that? Let's lay some groundwork for how critical that can be in terms of the outcome and performance.
Well, yeah, it's super important. After all the training's done, all the physical preparation is done, and you've worked on the targeting aspect, then it really comes down to the mental side of the game. And being able to control your nerves, being able to stay calm, trust in those skills that you've trained yourself to do over the years, over the previous months. Super, super important. So we talk about the big four when it comes to mental training. That is letting go of outcome expectations, focusing on the process or execution instead of outcomes. Number three is what we call proactive confidence. And then four is trusting in the skills that you practice and be able to take that into the live situation or the live event.
Wow, that's good. I literally had some notes and questions down that relate to exactly those four, and I had no idea that you kind of focus on those four, but I'm thinking of things like process versus outcome is exactly some of what I wanted to talk about. I want to come back to those four and probably talk a bit more in depth about them, but one thing I noticed on your site as well is I was just browsing around. You had this tagline in there that said, confidence is the game. Like, confidence is it. We've mentioned that previously for what we do, that confidence is so critical in being able to execute when it matters most. But why confidence? Why is that one of the most important factors that you guys work with from a mental aspect?
Well, confidence, we look at confidence as like a cure-all for the mental game. If you don't have confidence, a lot of things can break down. But if you do have confidence, then you're not going to doubt. You're not going to be fearful. Sometimes you're going to let go of errors or mistakes easier with confidence. So it pulls together a lot of the other parts of the mental game. If you go into that situation and you have doubt, then that's going to undermine a lot of your mental game. That's going to undermine the trust in your skills. That's going to undermine your ability to focus on the process as well. So I kind of call confidence a cure-all. If you have a high level of confidence in your ability and your skills, then that's going to take care of a lot.
Patrick, Steve here. Confidence, I mean, it's got to be, that's a really finicky thing, right? I mean, what's your top four or five things for building and maintaining confidence?
Yeah, good question. We look at it from two perspectives. One is what we call proactive confidence, taking confidence into that situation and then or into the competition. And then the second one is you have to address the confidence killers. There's several confidence killers that athletes and performers, shooters in your situation, they tend to undermine confidence. Some they're aware of and some they're really not aware of. But first, obviously, is you got to get in the practice and preparation. That's certainly a big part of feeling confident. Secondly, another part of that is you have to be more proactive with the confidence and not allow confidence to come by chance. A lot of the performers that we work with, they tend to wait for something good to happen before they can feel confident. So we talk about focusing on your talents, your expertise, your abilities, your strengths, those types of things to help build confidence. Self-talk can be another, and also visualizing being successful as well. So those are some of the areas we tend to work on. And then we have to jump and talk about, you know, all the confidence killers that are out there for athletes and performers as well.
Specifically on rebuilding confidence, maybe after a bad performance, in our case, a missed shot, something like that, what would you have us then do to begin to rebuild confidence specifically after a quote unquote failure?
When is the next shot? That's a question I'd want to ask you. Is there another shot coming in that session, or are you talking about for the next hunt altogether?
Yeah, that's a great question. And sometimes we don't know, right? So if we're in a practice situation or maybe shooting competitively, we might know. However, if we're into a multi-day hunt and we had a shot opportunity that we miss, we don't know if we're going to get another one or when that might come. So I'd love to maybe explore some of the differences there between those two.
Okay, good. So let's talk about competition first, where you might obviously have several shots or series of shots. And I assume you're being scored on your target accuracy. And I know with some, you're also being scored on your ability to your quickness as well. With some of the shooters I've worked with. So you can't get hung up on the miss. I mean, I know it's extremely important to hit your targets, but the most important thing is not to dwell and not to get hung up in the middle of a competition, and start to doubt, right, as well. So what we tell athletes, look, sometimes you're not going to be perfect, and you got to accept that you're not going to be perfect. So let's move on to the next shot right away, still believing in your abilities. Because here's the thing, nothing's changed in terms of abilities. Your abilities, your practice, your past success, it's all still there. So don't allow that one shot to burst the whole confidence bubble, if you know what I mean. And sometimes with shooters and with athletes, it's that simple, right? That, you know, one miss and they're like, oh gosh, I don't have any confidence today. No, that's not the case at all. So it's really convincing athletes. They have to understand that they're still the same person. You're still the same shooter. It's just a miss. It doesn't mean that you're off that day. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have a bad competition. You have to get back to the next shot unencumbered, which means not dwelling on the last shot.
That's good. Man, I could see how that plays out in so many different ways. I've heard people talk about, you know, if you fail fast, meaning just get over it, fail fast, it's done, it's behind you. As you said, it's not who you are. And as you've mentioned, if we've done the practice and the preparation and we know we have some skills, we shouldn't let that miss define us. That's really good.
Yeah, the problem is that immediate performance tends to rock shooters and athletes. They rely too much on what they just did. In other words, they judge quite a bit. And if they're judging and relying on their immediate performance, well, that's not real confidence. Real confidence comes from years and years of training and practice and competing.
This leads me into wanting to dive deeper into this whole shot aspect. I think this applies whether we're talking about competitive shooting or, in our case, a hunting scenario. I mean, sometimes for us, especially on a bow hunting side of things, I mean, we might work months and months and months to truly have a single shot opportunity, and then may or may not get one, as we've talked about. Hopefully we get another one if it's needed, but that's not guaranteed. I want to begin to break down how we can prepare effectively for that shot opportunity. So things like a pre-shot routine, things like our mental talk, visualization, what things can help us execute effectively when we've worked months for maybe this one moment, this one shot opportunity?
Oh, yeah. And we see that in sports as well, like skating and gymnastics. It's very similar, that very few competitions and a lot of training. It has to start in the training. The trust in your skills has to start. In other words, a lot of shooters and athletes alike, they're going to get stuck in what I call this training mindset. The training mindset is all about probably shooting, having a controlled environment, shooting from a controlled environment, working on techniques, targeting, sight, all those things that I assume that shooters do when they're training. The reason why I say it starts before you get into that particular situation where you might only have one shot is you have to start with what we call some specificity training. Now, the best way to describe specificity training is that you try and practice and train in the same conditions that you're going to shoot in. Call it simulation training as well. You have to basically put yourself in that situation. That's why teams scrimmage, right? Teams do scrimmaging because it puts them closer to that competitive situation. So you don't want to be stuck in a training mindset and doing things that aren't going to specifically transfer to that one shot that you're going to have out, you know, in the wild, basically, right? So that's really important, is the mindset leading up to, you know, going out for that hunt and only having that single shot that you may have. Next thing, obviously, as you mentioned, routines are very, very important and very, very effective for putting performers and shooters in the right mindset. And the routine, I have a basic routine that I teach that applies to, you know, many situations. It comes down to planning, what you're going to do, rehearsing, having a positive, proactive image of what you're going to do in that situation. Confidence, having some simple self-talk that you may have. And obviously, I'm talking mostly about the mental routine here. And beyond that, focus on the process, stay in the moment, don't get ahead of yourself worrying about the miss or worrying about how awesome it would be if you do make the shot, right? Don't get overexcited. So outcome obviously is a problem, and the routine helps them focus on the process. And then finally, the most important, all of those skills lead to trust. Trust in your skills. And because at that moment where it becomes so important, what do you think a shooter is going to do? And you can answer that, but I'll answer it for you. They're going to overthink, maybe get over technical or mechanical with themselves, maybe try too hard or try to be too perfect, thinking all of those are going to lead to the accuracy that they need to make the shot, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's what the mind says to the shooter in that moment. I got to be more perfect. I got to try harder. I got to overthink everything I'm doing, which impedes performance. So when it comes to trust in skills, is the opposite of that. Trust in your skills is basically going from your eyes to your hands, I guess. It depends if it's a bow or...
Sure.
But going from your eyes to your hands and skipping all that additional thinking and trying, right? So I call it shooting darts. Basically, if you think about when you shoot darts, what do? You look at the bullseye and you send the dart.
Yeah.
Right? Got to be the same in shooting. You got to trust in all the training. You got to look at the target and basically trust that hand-eye coordination. That's where the routine builds into that pinpoint focus of trust when it comes time to make the shot. So lots of things interfere with that. Outcome thinking, overthinking, trying to be perfect, worrying about missing. I mean, just a lot of things can get in the way. And the routine helps you focus on the right performance cues leading up to that one shot.
Yeah, there's definitely, there's a lot going on. So to give you more context to just, again, within the archery scenario, for example, you know, we have typically on a sight that we have, we're going to have multiple pins for different yardages. So we need to know what yardage we're shooting and then what pin to shoot. We need to look at the wind. We need to look at our level. We need to, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. And that's aside from our physical performance of form and posture and stance and grip. And, you know, there's certainly this potential to have your mind going crazy, focusing on all these different inputs, hoping for this one good output. So it sounds like some of that we need to let go and trust and fall back on our practice and let it be muscle memory. But then at the same time, we can't totally check out. We need to stay mentally engaged. I'm curious. Let's back up. I would love to kind of go through those aspects that you mentioned of your routine again. So leading up to trust, what were some of the aspects?
Well, the first one that you just mentioned is the planning. I need to know what target, the distance to the target. I need to know the wind direction.
Yeah, that's helpful. So that all falls within planning.
Yeah, that all falls doing your homework. I call it, you know, doing your homework and making sure you have all the elements down and what are the conditions. And
yeah, sorry not to cut you off, but some of that's in the moment, right? Like we can't pre-plan what the distance is going to be, what the wind's going to be, what the angle's going to be, etc. But like those are variables that we're accounting for in the moment. But it sounds like we need to make that, we need to define those variables and come up with that as part of the plan, as kind of the first thing we do in the moment. Does that make sense?
Well, when you say in the moment, is it moment by moment in terms of you're looking at different targets and shifts in the wind? So if you could provide a little context around that.
Right. So, I mean, we could be going into a hunt and knowing that we're hunting a certain area or a certain type of terrain. but we won't know at what distance we're going to encounter an animal until that encounter opens itself up, till we have that opportunity. So we're going to go, okay, here we know we're going on to an elk hunt in this certain area, this terrain, the weather might be like this, but it's not until we maybe spot an elk and are able to stalk within, say, okay, we have a 40-yard shot now, and the wind's doing this, and now it's go time.
Yeah, and you can, what I call pre-plan a lot of that in terms of, okay, if at this distance and this particular direction, or if the elk comes into the opening here, then you can pre-plan and visualize a lot of what you're going to do depending on maybe the speed, the direction of the wind, you know, what the target's doing. So, yeah, some of that you can think through. If you're in a defined location that's not going to change, you can go through and think through those distances and what you're going to do. That's, to me, a lot of the homework and the planning that happens. And then once it's time, you got to let the instincts and the trust take over. No more. Mm-hmm. It can't be anything more about calculations. You know, you can get bogged down in all those calculations, right? When it comes time to make the shot, once it comes time to make the shot, it has to be about hand-eye coordination. But some of that you can pre-plan and visualize out of different scenarios. It's just like a ball player. You know, if there's man on bases, they can pre-plan. Are they going to first with the ball? Are they going to go to third, second? They can think about the scenarios in their mind and what they're going to do and what target they're going to go to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's helpful for sure. So was there another one between planning and then the trust that you got to? I thought there was a few aspects.
Well, you do have the rehearsal part where you're actually rehearsing from a first-person perspective, from within your own eyes. And having an image of what's going to drive the performance. What I mean image is some athletes and shooters are very visual. So their image is going to be maybe a trajectory or the target, something along those lines. Whereas more of a feel-oriented type of shooter might be more along the lines of something like being smooth, or good tempo, or smooth, you know, trigger release, or, you know, something that helps their performance.
Right.
So that's going to be dependent upon the particular individual, but it's a positive intention. It's a positive image that they want to have. Then you can have some self-talk, if depending on how long the routine is, some self-talk, I got this, or I've trained hard for this. Or this is my moment, very quickly, very short and succinct. All the while they're staying focused on their performance cues. Now, the performance cues could be some simple things that you said in terms of, you know, setting up and engaging with the target, just things that are going to help them stay in the moment. Then that all of that leads up to, obviously, trust in that moment and trusting the hand-eye coordination, trusting you did the preparation and the homework for that shot. And basically, as you said, motor memory. It's not muscle memory. It's really the memory resides in the motor system. It's trusting in your motor memory and all the training that you've done and your experience in that moment.
What advice or insight can you give us to, I don't want to say outright doubt, but questions in the moment of performance of, can I do this? Can I make this shot? Will this work? Things like that. Or is there room for that? Should we trust that? Should we tune into that and maybe, you know, change because of that? Or for our scenario, I mean, we don't want to take an unethical shot. Is that something, not that we were asking you to give input on hunting ethics, but how would you have us deal with that? I'm sure there's
with
some
the doubt.
Yeah. With some doubt.
Marks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we put that under anticipate and cope. A lot of what I do is teaching shooters and athletes that they need to make the right choices, right? You can choose to tune into the doubt or you can choose to change the doubt. So when I say anticipate and cope, I would sit down with a specific shooter and say, what are you most likely to doubt in that moment? What are your specific doubts or question marks that you have in your mind about making that shot? And then once we have the specific doubts, we would come with what's called a rebuttal. A rebuttal is basically a comeback. What's your own personal comeback for that doubt? And then have them memorize their particular comebacks or what we call rebuttals. And then they make the right choice in that moment when they recognize that they have the doubt. They're aware. That's the first step. Then use their rebuttal to get beyond that doubt instead of letting the doubt go unchecked and kind of like fester confidence in essence.
What about, I'm not talking in the moment now, kind of in this shot opportunity and it's time to perform, but I'm talking well before we get that far. What about visualization? You know, we have this whole aspect of rehearsal. We're obviously physically doing the practice. Something that, you know, as I've looked into kind of sports psychology and things like that, visualization will come up over and over again of, you know, basically winning in your mind before you physically do it, right? What are your thoughts on that? How is that effective? How would you maybe have us consider doing that for our scenario?
It's a little bit, for laymen, it's a little bit overused in terms of sports psychology is all about goal setting and visualization, right?
Okay.
But there is a place for it. There certainly is a place for it. And we've talked about the one spot where you use visualization as a pre-planning tool or a planning tool or an imaging tool in the routine. We also talk about pre-game, or it would be pre-event. I guess, or pre-shoot in your situation where you could go through some scenarios in your mind and have the right feelings, have the right images, because it's all about having those images and feelings that are going to program you for success. Once again, that's very specific to the particular shooter or performer. Because they might be driven by more visual, some might be driven by auditory, some might be driven by maybe even tactile or kinesthetic, as we call it, which is the feel-oriented approach, or a combination of all of those, right? So we typically talk about pre-shot and pre-game or pre-event, and that's where we would work that in. It's not a be-all, end-all, but it definitely is part of the routines.
What other pre-event, pre-game aspects would you have us consider, even within practice itself? So if you're dealing with, let's say, an Olympic athlete who's not going to be in the moment, if you will, for another 2 years, but clearly the training between now and then is important, how are you helping them make the most of their preparation and performance before the game from a mental aspect?
Well, it's certainly, as we talked about, having the right practice, the simulation training, and getting as close as you can to that competition that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. But it's teaching the athlete typically about all the mental skills that we go through, finding out where are their weaknesses in terms of the mental game and where are their strengths. We deal with a lot of perfectionists. That's the type of athlete that tends to seek us out because they're great in practice, and then they tend to struggle in competition. So we run through, as I talked about before, the big four. We educate them on the big four, letting go of mistakes, pre-shot routines. We take them right through the mental skills that we feel are important, and looking at some of the limiting beliefs and expectations that might hold that particular athlete back. I've started too late, for example, to be an Olympic shooter, or others have better equipment than me, where they just hang on to some limiting beliefs and expectations, or, you know, my coach or my sponsors, you know, expect me to, you know, get a medal. Those are some of the things or areas where we start with is trying to manage some of those expectations and some of the limiting beliefs. And then, like I said, we'll go on to focus and confidence, trust, composure, comfort zones, routines, pre-shot, pre-game routines, smart practice, a lot of different areas that we'll cover, you know, leading up to that competition. I tend to like to do it, though, as we get closer to the competition. Say 3 months before, 2 months before the actual competition, in this case, the Olympics. So then it comes down to being able to get the most out of your practice using some principles from motor learning, such as specificity training.
One of the four, I believe you mentioned, was this whole idea of process versus outcome, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I want to learn more about that. I'm assuming that this builds into what we've talked about with the trust, for example, that, you know, you've done this process, you've done the practice and the preparation, focus on that, don't focus on the outcome, you know, trust what you've done. But I'd love to just hear more, because I know that that's an area for me that a mindset shift has occurred, and I think it's been really helpful for me to focus on process and not outcome, because for me personally, focusing on the outcome led to more stress, led to, you know, more pressure, if you will, which degraded performance versus trusting my process.
Yes, absolutely. You can think of distractions or irrelevant cues, as we call them in our work, coming from the future, thinking too far ahead about outcome and aftermath. That's a big challenge, certainly. And then you can also think about when you're not in the moment, you're not focusing on the process, is are you dwelling on the previous shot or your previous performance that you had in a similar situation? So, and then you have just random distractions, external distractions that can go on around you as well. So first you have to define what does it mean to focus on the process. And then if you put it into context, I could probably get more specific with that. You have to define the performance cues that you need to focus on that is in the moment, that is focused on the process. And that, those are synonymous. Being in the moment, the here and now, focusing on the process, those are all synonyms, right? Yeah. Once you define the performance cues, then you also have to say, well, what is irrelevant? What can get you off your game? So, and I do just that. What, how much you think ahead that could get in the way, how much you dwell in the past, what around you, some of the external distractions can get in the way. Mm-hmm. So you're drawing a clear line in the sand between what's relevant, what's important to focus on in the moment, and then what's unimportant.
Yeah.
Now the key is then to good focusing is to immerse yourself into those performance cues, those things that are relevant in the moment. A batter, for example, in baseball is simply going to get his setup, step into the box, get his setup, clear his mind, and basically just see the ball. Keep it really simple, right? And if he starts thinking about, I need to get a hit or I need to drive in the runner, then he's ahead of himself. That requires what we call a refocusing skill. Being able to recognize that you're ahead of yourself and then to refocus back in the moment. So when you're in the zone and you're performing well, plan A is just to immerse yourself into those performance cues. But we have a plan B. Plan B is, hey, when you recognize you're thinking ahead, let's make sure you refocus quickly and get back into the moment, maybe get back into your routine.
I mean, it sounds like so much of this is just being aware, right? Like it's being aware of what your mind is doing and choosing to be proactive about taking control of your thoughts versus just thoughts coming in and then you kind of pursuing them or, you know, going down their direction and again, just taking proactively like, no, I'm in charge of my thoughts in this moment. I'm not going to be distracted or pressured or what have you.
Well, absolutely, but you have to remember when you're really performing well, there's not a lot of thinking, there's not a lot of judgment, there's no analysis, you're just doing.
Yeah.
And that's really the place that you want to be, but often when we work with perfectionists, they're not just doing. And that's when you have to be proactive and be able to make the right choice, whether that's dealing with a doubt, or being able to refocus when you get ahead of yourself.
How do physical factors such as things like fatigue play into all this? Does that begin to change how we think or have the ability to, you know, affect how in the moment we can be?
Well, most athletes they're used to dealing with fatigue. They're used to being able to push through fatigue. They know what it feels like, and they might know how it affects their performance as well. That maybe they have to pay more attention to their footwork or their setup or whatever it may be. The fatigue for me from the mental side can affect focus. If you're fatigued physically, then that can also lead to a mental fatigue in terms of the focus as well. And so if you're at a competition and you're going through several rounds, then I recommend that shooters tend to relax their focus between the rounds to, in essence, save it for during the round. That's number one. And then when you're fatigued mentally, say at the end of a long competition, then you have to be even more astute and more focused on those performance cues, because that's when the mind wants to wander. And also think about, when's this going to be over? When am I going to be through with this? Right.
Yeah.
So it comes down to, once again, making that choice, that proactive choice of knowing that this can lead to some mental fatigue, and this is where I really need to be locked in and be committed to that routine.
How does motivation play into this? I know we're bouncing over the map. I just have so many questions and like all these different variables that play into this. How can this mental edge be affected by motivation and vice versa? How can our mental game keep us motivated to stay in it when things aren't going our way?
Well, it's huge. I think the motivation component is even more important when it comes to the practice, the training, and the preparation. So if you're under motivated, obviously you're not going to get the most, or you're not going to get the most out of your ability. We also talk about over-motivation, which you might not have thought about, but perfectionists are often over-motivated. They want to win so badly, they want to perform well so badly, that they tend to trip themselves. So there is a proper level of motivation when it comes to performing. But motivation in terms of being able to get through is very, very important, especially when you have athletes that tend to like tank and give up because they're not having a good performance. They have to be able to brush off those mistakes and say, I'm still okay. Let me finish strong. So I don't know if it's so much about motivation as it is more just mindset and being able to have the mindset of grind it out. You don't have your A game, but just grind it out and get through with it. Get the most out of the game that you have today rather than an all-out tank. I don't know if you see that a lot. With you know, high level shooters, they're not going to just tank and give up. Mm-hmm. But we see that with younger athletes quite a bit. Well, they're so frazzled, they're so frustrated, they tend to check out and tank. Mm-hmm. And can't get through the competition.
When you mentioned grind it out, it made me think of just this idea of mental toughness, which is something we've talked about and something I hear talked about, I think, a lot these days. And I wonder if we're talking about the same thing sometimes at times, because it's a phrase that gets thrown around. How would you define mental toughness?
Mental toughness, I look at it as a catch term for everything that we do. We're trying to help athletes improve mental toughness via mental coaching and mental training. But typically you can think of mental toughness as having the mental skills, improving the mental skills, concentration, focus, intensity, the proper level of intensity. Obviously, confidence, composure, trust, a lot of things that we've talked about. But there is another component of mental toughness as well, and that's being resilient. Being able to roll the punches, being able to get off the floor, right? Be able to keep going when things get tough, when you're faced with adversity and things are tough. So you could look at, that's another component of mental toughness.
And clearly that can be improved or enhanced. Personally, like, my mental toughness can improve in general aside from hunting, for example, but that could clearly help my mental toughness, and then that mental toughness could help my hunting. So what I'm getting at is there's all kinds of things we can do to improve the mental game that don't have to fall within just our sport, if you will, yet they'd still apply and help us in that sport?
Lots of carryover to life. When we're working on the mental skills, focusing and confidence, absolutely huge carryover, not only in business, but any performance situation.
Do you have any general recommendations or exercises or techniques then to kind of that are more general that could just help this mindset or focus or stay in the moment, eliminate distraction, like any of that that can help in general?
Yeah, it goes back to anticipate and cope. It's going to be specific for athletes in terms of what's going to rock their boat. So the question that your listeners or your readers have to ask themselves is, when I get tripped up mentally, how do I get tripped up? Do I get frustrated? Do I start to overthink? Do I start to over-control the shot? And that's going to lead them to the answer of being able to cope with those particular situations. Every athlete's a little bit different in terms of how they get tripped up mentally. So mental toughness in general is about understanding your unique challenges and what might rock your boat. If maybe a competitor says a snide remark, does that get under your skin, for example? And or let's say you're in the lead in a competition and you tend to play it safe and get protective and that hurts you. So there's lots of different challenges that athletes find themselves in, and each individual person has to understand, how might I get tripped up and what's the strategy for being able to deal with that? If I get ahead of myself a lot when I'm shooting, then I need to be able to refocus more readily, as an example.
It's always one of those good news, bad news things when we're looking for, like, here's this generic cure, when in reality it's so individual, right?
Very much so.
I'm curious, Steve, does anything come to mind for you in terms of maybe where you get hung up or have gotten hung up in the past?
Well, certainly the perfectionism part and, you know, wanting to make things perfect and getting upset, getting frustrated when things aren't perfect. Like I said, we work with a ton of perfectionists here. That's the type of performer and athletes that tends to seek us out. And they have a unique set of challenges that we see over and over again. So, you know, we can see them coming.
Yeah, I think for me, there's this aspect of, like, we're kind of spend a lot of time talking about, like, the confidence at the moment of truth at the shot. But there's something I've struggled with is that kind of big picture confidence and remaining focused, say, over like a 5-day hunt. But I don't know how, other than experience, than doing all these little things you talked about, I don't think there's any shortcuts to kind of just having, like, you know, you're going into, say, you're a basketball player, you're going into, you know, the NBA playoffs and you got 7 games, to have the confidence just from the outset that, you know, you may have, you know, good games and bad games, but you're going to win at the end. And I don't know how you replace that with, you know, nothing but experience.
Well, yeah, it's experience, it's training, it's practice, it's preparation, it's knowing your talents, knowing your capabilities, yeah, and focusing on what you have instead of focusing on what others have in the competition, right? Mm-hmm. So we do talk about stable confidence a lot and trying to stabilize that. One of the concepts that I've been working with is, look, over 5 days, you're going to have momentum on your side, and sometimes you're not going to have momentum on your side. And so you have to understand that's part of the game, is sometimes you're going to lose momentum, but it doesn't mean you lose confidence in your skills.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to have momentum, and you want to ride it and keep that momentum. But basically stabilizing the confidence by understanding that notion that it's not a straight line, that you're going to have ups and downs during a 5-day competition, and you got to be able to say, I'm still the same shooter, I'm still the same person, I have still the same experience, and it's there for me, and I got to trust in that, regardless of how much momentum I have going at this moment.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of hunters could maybe relate to your junior athletes, or they're on day 2 of a hunt, and they haven't seen an animal yet, they kind of throw their hands up in the air and put their head down and hike back out or something. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Man, there's so much to this. It seems like, whether we talk our world and hunting, or, you know, younger athletes who are so focused on the physical aspects of performance, if we're not giving attention to this mental game, man, we're so missing out, I think. I mean, we're just there's so much to it that can help us perform more effectively. And if we're not giving it attention, it just seems like we're leaving so much on the table, if you will.
Well, yeah, I mean, after all the practice and all the training is complete, now it comes down to the mental game.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's absolutely huge, especially when it comes down to that moment of execution.
Right. Mm. All right. So let's recap again. I'd love to hear those four again. I know we've covered them. We've probably mentioned them a couple at this point. We've mentioned them a couple times. So I just want to recap, kind of leave the listeners with those big four so that, you know, myself as I'm doing this and then the listeners here in this show can kind of go back to those big four and personally evaluate where they're at, maybe where they can make some improvements and where they can focus on.
Yeah, so we call it the Fantastic Four. You got to be able to manage the expectations that you're feeling about outcomes and about your performance, thereby letting go of those expectations. Second one is you have to be able to focus on the process by defining the performance cues that are important to focus on during your routine. Thirdly, you have to be more proactive with the confidence, basically understanding what your talents and your experience and focusing on what you have and what you've done. And then finally, the most important is when it's time to compete, you have to trust in all that you've done. You have to trust in your experience, your training, your preparation, and your hand-eye coordination in that moment. That's where it all comes together.
So where can we go to learn more if we want to dive deeper into the world of mindset and getting a mental edge and learn about peak performance?
You can go to Peak Sports. That's peaksports.com. And that's the mothership. That's our website we've had out there for going on 22 years now.
So we've been doing this a little bit.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of that experience and knowledge with us in the show. We certainly appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let me know if you need anything else.
Well, we hope you enjoyed and benefited from that episode. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about this podcast at exomountaingear.com/podcast or get in contact with us directly by emailing podcast@exomountaingear.com. Hope to see you next week.